John the Baptist is known all over the world, even in our time. I haven't watched any of the modern movies about him, but I do see that they're advertised all the time. So John the Baptist is still well known after 2,000 years. In our section for today, we continue with Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 11. John the Baptist was in prison, and he will send a messenger. This is Matthew 11. By Matthew 14, it already records his death. So in Matthew 14, it's already happened. In Matthew 11, here's a messenger, so it must be kind of near the end. For him, life's outcome would not be what he expected. He expected that there would be a kingdom and Jesus would be the king, and he expected safety and security. Verses 1 through 5, we'll have John the Baptist's doubts. And then the next section, Jesus' defense of John the Baptist. So verses 1 through 5, doubts. Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples. He departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, while in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Go and report to John what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." There are about 125 Bible people who are mentioned outside the Bible, in other ancient books, or in archaeological artifacts. John the Baptist is mentioned outside the Bible in the book of Josephus. He wrote a book called Jewish Antiquities about the history of Israel. Josephus was born in 37. He died in about 100. So a little after Jesus, but about the time of the apostles, as the apostles get older. And Josephus talks about John the Baptist. He talks about Herodias and that she left one brother to go marry Herod, the other brother. So the scandal that John the Baptist told the king about, that was true outside the Bible. Herod Antipas suffered in a battle, and Josephus says the public blamed it upon being cursed by God for what he had done to John the Baptist. Josephus said that John had proclaimed holiness and told people to go to the river to get baptized. Herod imprisoned him in Machaerus, that's by the Dead Sea, a fortress there. And Herod executed John the Baptist there. So John the Baptist, historical figure outside of the Bible. He sent messengers while he was in prison in Matthew 11. And Jesus will send a message back, and he will tell the listeners that no one was greater than John the Baptist among the Old Testament people. There might be people just as great. I would interpret it that John the Baptist was in the top category, and maybe Moses and Elijah and Samuel were up there with him, but John the Baptist was in the top category. However, John the Baptist was the only one alive when Jesus was on earth. While in prison, he sent the messenger, "Are you the coming one?" Translated "coming one" in King James, or "Are you the expected one" in New American Standard, or "Are we looking for someone else?" Here is an example of someone who is a believer having doubts. Doubts are not good, but they do happen. And all of us have had doubts from time to time. And Jesus' example will be to answer the doubts. If we know anybody with doubts, family or friends, we should try to respond to those doubts. Our response should not be just shut up and stop this and go away. Our response should be, here is the answer, or else go to somebody who can give the answer. The Apostle Thomas also had doubts after the resurrection, and I will not believe until I see his wounds. And Jesus came to the upper room and said, here are the wounds in my hands and feet. And doubting Thomas, you can believe. So John the Baptist had doubts, and doubts should be answered, and Jesus answered them, and we should answer anyone else with doubts. He was expecting safety and security, not prison, not a death sentence. Are you the coming one? Now, New American Standard is expected. That's probably better for modern listeners. Are you the expected one? But coming one is probably best because it makes a reference to Psalm 118. And Psalm 118, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's probably the exact Old Testament reference that John the Baptist messenger is giving. Are you the coming one mentioned in Psalm 118? Jesus told them to go and report all the miracles that he had done. Go and report the fulfilled Old Testament prophecies. And there's a quotation here of Isaiah 35, list of miracles, and a quotation here of Isaiah 61. Isaiah 35, the eyes of the blind will be open and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And then the lame will leap like a deer and multitudes will shout for joy. So that's Isaiah 35, but here Jesus quotes it. Isaiah 61, his hometown in Nazareth, he also had given Isaiah 61 to preach the gospel to the poor. That's Old Testament, and the Old Testament gave the expectation of the people in Jesus' day that anyone claiming to be the Messiah could do miracles. More important, Isaiah, although it is outside the Bible also, that the people of Jesus' time expected the Messiah would have to show himself by doing miracles. Now, this is a Dead Sea Scroll. It's not a Bible quotation. Depends how accurate you want to be. 4Q, that means K4. 521, fragments 2 and 5. And it says, he will honor the pious upon the throne of the eternal kingdom, setting prisoners free, opening the eyes of the blind, raising up those who are bowed down. The Lord shall do things which have not yet been done. He will heal the injured. He will make alive the dead. He will proclaim good news to the afflicted. So you have Isaiah, but the people of Jesus' time expected this, and there it is outside the Bible. Now, Jesus must have been able to do miracles because he could tell John the Baptist, you have heard about these. You have seen these. The expectation that the Messiah could do miracles is known from even outside the Bible. And if John the Baptist's expectation was true, so is this answer. And the answer was, go tell them, everybody can hear and see what I have done. The empty tomb is probably the greatest miracle that we can demonstrate and show. His disciples told the truth. They said they saw it, including these messengers that went back and including John the Baptist. Even his enemies said he could do miracles. They just said he must be satanic. He can do supernatural things, but he must be satanic, which of course the followers expected it was supernatural from God, and John the Baptist accepts this answer. Now, that would be enough for verses 1 through 5, but let me say something about history. In history, it's called the principle of embarrassment. If something is embarrassing, it would not be made up. If something is embarrassing, it would be true. The embarrassing thing here is John the Baptist had doubts. Nobody would make up a story about John the Baptist having doubts unless John the Baptist had doubts. And if John the Baptist had doubts, then Jesus' answer is what he gave. And Jesus truly gave these words. So if looking at it historically, it's the principle of embarrassment. Embarrassing things have to be true. So John the Baptist must have had doubts. So did Jesus give this historical answer. And the historical answer is everybody can hear and see evidence for Jesus' supernatural power. Now, I didn't end all of Jesus' quotation. I left out verse 6 on purpose to take it by itself. Verse 6. And blessed is he who does not take offense in me. About every time we see the word offense, I give the Greek word scandalize. Blessed is he who is not scandalized by Jesus. It actually refers to tripping over. Blessed are those who do not trip over Jesus and are not scandalized. And the word for blessed means happy. Applied to now, 2025, happy will be those who are not scandalized by Jesus. He told this to John the Baptist. On the other hand, it's true for Christians now. Next, we're going to have some comments about John the Baptist, that he would not shake in the wind. He would stand firm. Let's read about that in verses 7 through 10. As these men were going away, going back to John the Baptist, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and the one who is more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Though the last part is probably more important, but there are verses about a reed. There are a few of these around town. The Presbyterian Church across the street from us has a couple of little ponds. They're real little, but if they don't mow them, then the reeds come up and they kind of wave around. And we can go find some lake or swamp around here. Wave around in the wind. That means doing whatever it is that people say you ought to be doing. The opposite of a reed would be like a tree. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Well, we're not John the Baptist, and we don't need to dress in leather. We don't need to eat locusts. But in other ways, sometimes we don't have an easy life. We don't need to pick the hardest, unless we have to. But sometimes we won't have an easy life. And the goal of life is not to have the easiest. The goal of life is not to go in the direction of what pleases everybody, especially if they're telling us wrong things. We don't want to blow in the direction of approval if it is approval of people who are saying what is wrong or doing what is wrong. We want to be more like the tree and not like a reed. Ephesians 4 kind of has like blowing around, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So that does have a water waves, but still talking about blowing winds, not going in the direction of those that are deceitful, not caring, being more like a tree. Verse 9, John was a prophet. God spoke through him, but John was also prophesied about. And Jesus gives this reference in Malachi 3. And Jesus quotes Malachi 3, that he would send a messenger before him. There is another Old Testament prophecy about John the Baptist. It has already been given in Matthew 3:3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. So John the Baptist was a prophet. John the Baptist was prophesied about that there'd be a messenger before me. He's kind of a type of Elijah, which Jesus will be saying soon. A type of Elijah would be a picture of Elijah. I do think Elijah had to come again. You have the transfiguration where Elijah appears to Jesus at the transfiguration and maybe one of the two witnesses in the tribulation period in Revelation. Let's go ahead and read verse 11, more about John the Baptist. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. No one in the Old Testament was greater than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater. Well, we could interpret the kingdom of heaven as when Jesus comes back, it'll be greater and supernatural. But we could interpret the statement that even now in the church period, everybody has more truth than John the Baptist did. And we actually do. We have the full New Testament. We have more answers. We have more truth. John the Baptist had to ask questions that we already know the answer to. So in some ways, even the least in the kingdom of heaven now has greater answers and greater truth than John the Baptist did. John the Baptist was under the law of Moses. We are not. We have more. We even have the whole New Testament. More on opposition and John's limits, verses 11 through 14. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. I do think Elijah will come. I think he will be one of the two witnesses in Revelation 11, and he will be giving the gospel in the tribulation period, future to the church. But John the Baptist was a kind of Elijah. He was a type of Elijah. He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. Now let's get to the people that won't listen. In verses 15 through 18, and that will be, or excuse me, through 19, and that will be the last for today. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? Is like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to other children and say, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Some have spiritual potential and can understand spiritual things. There are those who do not. There are unsaved people now that they don't understand spiritual things, and they're not going to understand spiritual things. But Jesus says to his listeners, if you can understand it, understand this. And he's saying that his critics are fussy and they're never happy whichever way you go. So You know, you didn't sing, you didn't cry. You weren't happy, you weren't crying. We won't listen to you if you're happy. We won't listen to you if you're crying. Now it says like children, but he's really talking about adults. And the adult listeners to Jesus, they were never happy. We can have that now, and the best thing to do is to give truth, do what is right, turn it over to God, and not worry about it. But you can have people today, they would say, you're wearing tennis shoes, I won't listen to you. You're wearing dress shoes, I won't listen to you. You don't have a tie on, I won't listen to you. You do have a tie on, I won't listen to you. It's the same thing now. That people can give the truth, and some people will find fault, whatever direction. And on opposite days, on different days, they will give different things they don't agree with. And Jesus was telling his listeners, some can hear, some cannot hear. And they're not going to hear. And he was telling his listeners not to feel false guilt over it. Well, that will be sufficient for now, and we'll get ready for communion. We'll ask the musicians to come.